بسم الله إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فإن أحسن الكلام كلام الله وخير الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وإن شر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. In the previous lesson we finished our discussion of the second principle from the Kalam, from the speech of Sheikh Ubaid Al-Jabiri حفظه الله تعالى. And inshallah ta'ala, in this lesson we want to complete our discussion of the second principle from the speech of Sheikh Ahmad Al-Najmi rahimahullah and Sheikh Zayd Al-Madkhali hafidhahullah, and both of them have a very brief commentary on this principle. So our aim inshallah ta'ala is to try to get through both of their commentaries in this lesson inshallah ta'ala. So we begin just by reading the principle again. Shaykh al-Islam Muhammad bin Abdul Wahhab rahimahullah ta'ala, he said, Al-Aslu al-Thani, the second principle, Amr Allahu bil-ijtima'i fi al-deen wa naha anit tafarruqi fih. Allah commanded unity in the religion and prohibited separation therein. فَبَيِّنَ اللَّهُ هَذَا بَيَانًا شَافِيًا تَفْحَمُهُ الْعَوَامِ. And so Allah explained this with a sufficient explanation which the common people can understand. وَنَحَانَا أَن نَكُونَ كَالَّذِينَ تَفَرَّقُوا وَاخْتَلَفُوا قَبَلَنَا فَهَلَكُوا. And He prohibited us from being like those who split and differed before us, and as a result who perished. وَذَكَرَ أَنَّهُ أَمْرَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ بِالْإِجْتِمَاءِ فِي الدِّينِ وَنَهَاهُمْ عَنِ التَّفَرُّقِ فِيهِ. And He mentioned that He ordered the Muslims to be united upon the religion and prohibited them from separating therein. وَيَزِيدُهُ وُضُوحًا مَا وَرَدَتْ بِهِ سُنَّةُ مِنَ الْعَجَبِ الْعُجَابِ فِي ذَلِكَ. What increases this in clarity is what is narrated in the Sunnah of amazing affairs with respect to that. ثم سار الأمر إلى أن الافتراق في أصول الدين وفروعه هو العلم والفقه في الدين. Then the affair became overturned, such that splitting in the foundations of the religion and its branches was considered to be knowledge and understanding of the deen. وصار الاجتماع في الدين لا يقوله إلا زنديق أو مجنون. And unity in the religion would not be spoken of by anyone except a zindiq and one who is mad. So regarding this, the Shaykh Ahmad al-Najmi rahimahullah ta'ala, he says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has combined and made a connection between al-ijtima' fi al-deen, unity in the religion, and not being separated in the religion. He made a connection between these two things and with ibadah, with worship, because this unity is itself from ibadah. To be united and not to be disunited is itself from worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And for that reason, in two verses in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made a connection between these two things. So Allah says in Surah Al-Anbiya, Surah 21, verse 92, إِنَّ هَذِهِ أُمَّتُكُمْ أُمَّةً وَاحِدًا وَأَنَا رَبُّكُمْ فَاعْبُدُونَ. Indeed, this nation of yours is a single nation, and I am your Lord. So worship me alone. In this ayah, there is a connection between unity, being a single ummah, and between the worship of Allah alone, the command to worship Allah alone. Because Allah says, إِنَّ هَذِهِ أُمَّتُكُمْ أُمَّةً وَاحِدًا. This nation of yours is a single nation. وَأَنَا رَبُّكُمْ. I am your Lord. فَاعْبُدُونَ. So worship me alone. And then we see in another ayah, Surah Al-Mu'minun, Surah 23, verse 52, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says the same thing. إِنَّ هَذِهِ أُمَّتُكُمْ أُمَّةً وَاحِدَةً. وَأَنَا رَبُّكُمْ فَاتَّقُونَ. Indeed, this nation of yours is a single nation, and I am your Lord. فَاتَّقُونَ. Have taqwa. So we see in these two verses, the Shaykh says that the benefits that we get from these two verses is, number one, that al-ma'bud, The one worshipped is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So therefore, it is not permissible to worship anyone besides him. And likewise, secondly, that it is vital that the ummah is united and is a single ummah upon this objective. That it is united upon this objective, meaning of worshipping Allah alone. And Allah being a single ma'bud. And that he is Allah worthy of worship alone without any partners. So we see a connection in this unity, command to unity, and there being a single ummah, and there being a single ma'bud, and that this unity is built upon this objective, the objective of making worship for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. So all of this is taken from our Lord by way of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this nation takes its commands and its prohibitions from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by way of what has come in the book and the sunnah, and then it acts upon what has come in the book and the sunnah. And this is the deen, this is what is legislated by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it is the deen of every single prophet and messenger, and at the head of them the ulul azm, the messengers of firm determination. And so we see that in the ayah that we mentioned in the previous lesson, Allah says, شَرَعَ لَكُم مِّنَ الدِّينِ مَا وَصَّى بِهِ نُوحًا وَالَّذِي أَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْكَ وَمَا وَصَّيْنَا بِهِ إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَمُوسَى وَعِيسَى أَنْ أَقِيمُوا الدِّينَ وَلَا تَتَفَرَّقُوا فِيهِ. That we have legislated for you, meaning O Muhammad, that of the religion which we legislated for Nuh alayhi salam, and that which we reveal to you, meaning Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that which we revealed or which we advised with respect to Ibrahim alayhi salam and Musa and Isa alayhi salam, that you should establish the religion and be not divided therein. So this ijtima' upon tawheed is the deen revealed upon each and every single messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Because Allah says, "An aqimu ad-deena," that you should establish the religion, meaning establish the religion for Allah, which means to make it for Allah alone. وَلَا تَتَفَرَّقُوا فِيهِ, and be not divided therein. So this is a clear command for the ummah to be united, a single ummah. And if there is any difference, if there is any controversy or difference, then the return is back to Allah and His Messenger, as we see in other ayat in the Quran. And the Shaykh mentions two verses, وَمَا اخْتَلَفْتُمْ فِيهِ مِنْ شَيْءٍ فَحُكْمُهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ. That if you differ in anything, then its judgment is back to Allah, returns back to Allah. ذَلِكُمُ اللَّهُ رَبِّي وَعَلَيْهِ تَوَكَّلْتُ وَإِلَيْهِ أُنِيبُ. Such is your Lord, such is Allah, my Lord, upon Him have I placed my trust, and to Him do I turn. Surah Shura, which is the 42nd surah, verse number 10. And likewise in Surah An-Nisa, the 4th surah, verse number 83, Allah says, وَلَوْ رَدُّوهُ إِلَى الرَّسُولِ وَإِلَى أُولِي الْأَمْرِ مِنْهُمْ لَعَلِمَهُ الَّذِينَ يَسْتَنْبِطُونَهُ مِنْهُمْ. That if only they had returned it back to the messenger and to those in authority from amongst them, then those who knew the matter would derive it for them. This is an ayah which is a proof that issues return back to the Messenger of Allah whilst he is alive, and then to the people of knowledge, who then would advise the people in respect to those issues, those grave and serious issues that are taken to them. So these ayat, the Shaykh mentions them as a proof to show that any differences which occur, then they are to be returned back to the Messenger of Allah, to Allah, to His Messenger, and to the people of knowledge. And then the Shaykh goes on to say that whoever reflects upon all of the rulings of the Sharia, he will find that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in the various legislations, that he has not left any cause or reason which leads to differing, except that he put a barrier in front of it. And as an example, Allah says, وَاعْتَصِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا. Hold all of you onto the rope of Allah and be not divided. And another example is the saying of Allah in Surah Al-An'am, Surah 6, verse 153, وَأَنَّ هَذَا صِرَاطِي مُسْتَقِيمًا فَاتَّبِعُوهُ. This is my straight path, follow it. وَلَا تَتَّبِعُوا السُّبُلَ فَتَفَرَّقَ بِكُمْ عَنْ سَبِيلِهِ. And do not follow the other paths, lest they take you away from his path. And these and other verses are similar to what we mentioned in some of the previous lessons, and the commentary of the Salaf upon these verses and what they meant. And then Shaykh al-Islam Muhammad bin Abdul Wahhab rahimahullah ta'ala, he said, وَيَزِيدُهُ وَضُوحًا مَا وَرَدَتْ بِهِ السُنَّةِ مِنَ الْعَجَبِ الْعُجَابِ فِي ذَلِكَ. And then what increases this in clarity is what is narrated in the Sunnah of amazing affairs regarding this issue, meaning this issue of unity upon the religion and avoiding disunity. So then the Shaykh brings a number of ahadith, three or four ahadith, and from them he says the statement of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, may Allah illuminate a man, the face of a man, who heard my statement and then he memorized it. He understood it, then he memorized it, then he conveyed it to someone else. For perhaps a person may carry understanding, he may carry some fiqh to one who is more understanding than him. And then the Messenger continued, there are three, ثَلَاثٌ لَا يَغِلُّ عَلَيْهِنَّ قَلْبُ مُسْلِمٍ. There are three things to which the heart of a Muslim does not show any dislike or hatred or rancor. And they are, إِخْلَاصُ الْعَمَلِ لِلَّهِ, making one's action purely and sincerely for Allah alone. وَمُنَاسَحَةُ أَئِمَّةِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ, and advising the rulers of the Muslims, وَلُزُومُ جَمَاعَتِهِمْ, and adhering to their jama'ah, for indeed their supplication, فَإِنَّ الدَّعْوَةَ تُحِيطُ مَنْ وَرَاءَهُمْ, for indeed their supplication encompasses those who are behind them. And likewise the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in a hadith, مَنْ أَتَاكُمْ وَأَمْرُكُمْ جَمِيعٌ عَلَى رَجُلٍ وَاحِدٍ يُرِيدُ أَنْ يَشُقَّ عَسَاكُمْ أو يفرق جماعتكم فقتلوه. Whoever comes to you whilst your affair is united behind a single man, desiring that he should split your unity and split you, then you should kill that man. And also from the hadith is the hadith of splitting. The Jews split into 72 sects. The Jews split into 71 sects, and the Christians split into 72 sects. And this ummah will split into 73 sects, all of them in the fire except for one. And the companion said, Man hiya ya Rasulullah? And so the Messenger replied, Humul ladhina ala mithli ma ana alayhi wa ashabi. They are the ones who are upon what I and my companions are upon. And so these are some sample texts the Shaykh has brought as an evidence to establish this principle. And then the Shaykh says there are other types of evidences. Then he says that the affair, quoting Shaykh al-Islam Muhammad bin Abdul Wahhab, that the affair became turned, such that splitting in the foundations of the religion and its branches was considered to be knowledge, ilm and fiqh in the religion. And as for unity in the religion, then no one spoke of it except that he was considered to be a zindiq, a heretic, or a mad person. And so the Shaykh says that perhaps the author, meaning Shaykh al-Islam Muhammad bin Abdul Wahhab, what he intended by these words is what happened to the Muslimin of splitting in the foundations of their religion. And this has occurred a great deal. So for example, we have the Jahmiyyah, from Jahmiyyah to Al-I'tizal, the madhab of the Mu'tazila, and to the Qadariyyah, those who deny Al-Qadr, and to the Murji'ah. These are some sects that the Shaykh has mentioned by way of example. And to illustrate that the iftiraq, the splitting in the usul of the deen, has occurred a great deal, despite all of this that we find in the book and the sunnah of the command to unity. And likewise the Shaykh makes mention of splitting in the furu', in those issues, the subsidiary issues of the religion. And so he says, we therefore see that there are the Hanafiyyah, and the Malikiyyah, and the Shafi'iyyah, and the Hanabila, and the Zahiriyyah. And the Shaykh says that this is iftiraq in the Islamic fiqh, in the Islamic jurisprudence. And the Sheikh makes a point here and says that this in reality is not to be considered the iftiraq, which is blameworthy, because there is room in this type of jurisprudence for the understandings of the scholars to vary, and it is a difference in issues in which differing is permissible. He says this is not necessarily a blame or something blameworthy or something that's deficiency. However, what is a deficiency and a blame is when a person abandons the evidence for the saying of an imam. هو ترك الدليل لقول الإمام. So we have an evidence that comes to you, and then you abandon that evidence for the saying of an imam. This is the thing for which a person is to be criticized and considered blameworthy. So the Sheikh is making a point then that when it comes to issues of the ahkam and the ibadat, that these affairs are such that understandings can differ, and the scholars may vary in their understandings and derivation of evidence. The rebuke and criticism of splitting and differing does not really apply to these types of issues, unless we have a situation where a person will not abandon the saying of his imam even when evidence comes to him. This now becomes the splitting that is blameworthy, because he has now introduced splitting by way of this action of his. And so the Sheikh says that perhaps Sheikh al-Islam Muhammad bin Abdul Wahhab rahimahullah ta'ala, because he mentioned that splitting in the usul of the deen and the furu' of the deen, Sheikh al-Islam Muhammad bin Abdul Wahhab, he mentioned both of these things in his principle. And so the Sheikh Ahmad al-Najmi rahimahullah, he's commenting and saying that perhaps the author rahimahullah, what he intended by including splitting in the furu' is that many of the people in his time, they were of the view that anyone who abandons any one of these madhahib and who takes the evidence, then they would accuse him of madness and zandaqa, of junoon and zandaqa. Because this is how the situation became, this ta'assub, this partisanship, and this blind taqleed, this blind following, that this was a disease which had crept in. And for that reason, even though we accept and we know that differing in the furu', in the ahkam and the ibadat, that this is something that is, you know, going to occur by necessity because of the difference in the understanding of the scholars, that even though we accept this, nevertheless the situation became such that this partisanship and this blind following became such that they would not abandon the saying of an imam even when there is an explicit evidence from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And for that reason, Shaykh al-Islam Muhammad bin Abdul Wahhab, he made a point of this, of including the usul and the furu', differing therein, to be something that is blameworthy. And so this is the end of the commentary of Shaykh Ahmad al-Najmi rahimahullah ta'ala. And now we move to the commentary of Shaykh Zayd al-Madkhali hafidhahullah ta'ala. And so he begins by stating that this principle is a truth that the Book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has spoken of. And then he quotes the ayah in Surah Ali Imran that we have mentioned many times, wa'tasimu bihablillahi jami'a wa la tafarraqu, hold on to the rope of Allah, all of you, be not divided. وَذْكُرُوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ إِذْ كُنْتُمْ أَعْدَاءً فَأَلَّفَ بَيْنَ قُلُوبِكُمْ فَأَصْبَحْتُمْ بِنِعْمَتِهِ إِخْوَانًا. That remember the favor of Allah upon you when you used to be enemies. Allah united your hearts and you by way of His favor, and you became brothers by way of His favor. وَكُنْتُمْ عَلَى شَفَا حُفْرَةٍ مِنَ النَّارِ فَأَنْقَذَكُمْ مِنْهَا. And you were on the edge of a pit of fire, and He saved you from it. So in other words, Shaykh al-Islam Muhammad bin Abdul Wahhab has essentially taken this principle from this ayah and what is similar to it. And so Allah ordered, holding fast to His rope, which is His religion, His powerful religion, which the Book of Allah came with, and likewise the Sunnah of the chief of the messengers, the first and the last of them, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And He prohibited in this ayah And likewise, the Messenger prohibited likewise from splitting and differing in the deen, because this is the way of the mushrikeen and the way of the mubtadi'een. So all of those ayat, as we mentioned in the previous lessons, that even though they came blaming the Jews and the Christians and those who were given the book before us for splitting, and this being a characteristic of theirs from the people of shirk, that even though this is the foundation of the meaning of these verses, nevertheless they also apply to the people of bid'ah and dalala in this ummah, because that's the maqsood, that's the intent. Because those nations who came before from the Jews and the Christians, they split in the matters of al-qadr, they deviated. In the matters of Allah's names and attributes, they deviated. In the matter of worshipping Allah alone, they deviated. And so we find that amongst the Muslimin, we see that the Muslimin divided in all the same issues that those nations were disputing in. So if you were to look in the books of the Jews before the coming of Isa alayhi salam, and likewise, if you were to look into the books of the Christians before the coming of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you will find amongst them those whom we could call Jahmiyyah. We could call them Jahmiyyah because they spoke of Allah's names and attributes in the same way. We would find amongst them, or we would find in their books, the same issues pertaining to Al-Qada wal-Qadr, in which the Qadariyyah deviated and the Jabariyyah deviated. We will find those issues with them. And likewise in the issue of faith, Iman, you will find these types of issues in the books of the scholars of the Jews and the Christians. And so therefore, the Shaykh says here that we are prohibited from splitting in the deen because it is the way of the mushrikeen, لأنه سبيل المشركين وطريق المبتدئين, and the way of the innovators. So this applies to the innovators in our in Islam. And as for those who understand the deen of Allah from the book of their Lord and the sunnah of the Prophet, then they unite upon the religion. They don't split and they don't differ, because they fulfill this command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his precise revelation. So in other words, this ijtima' upon the haqq, upon the truth, upon issues which are the truth, this is the way of the Salafus Salihin. This is the way of the Salafus Salihin. This is the way of the people who have a sound and correct understanding of the Book of Allah, the mighty Book of Allah, and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who is trustworthy. This is a quality of theirs that they unite upon the religion, upon al-fahmus sahih, the correct understanding. And of course, this can only be by taking the fahm from the Salaf, from the Sahaba radiyallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'een. And as for splitting, this is the way of the people of bid'ah, those who are astray, who lead others astray. They are the ones who bring the reasons, the underlying reasons of splitting and differing, because of their deviation away from the straight path, in which there is no doubt. And for that reason, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he commanded this ummah, this united ummah, to follow this one path, this moderate middle path. And then the Shaykh mentions the ayah in the Quran, وَأَنَّ هَذَا صِرَاطِ مُسْتَقِيمًا فَاتَّبِعُوهُ, to the end of the ayah, this is my straight path, so follow it and do not follow the paths, so that you split from his path. And so the Shaykh says here that the people of the book and the sunnah and the correct sound understanding, they are the ones who have taken this wasiyah, they have taken this advice and this command from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it has entered into their hearts. They have taken it in their hearts, and they have taken it upon their tongues, and they have practically implemented it with their limbs. Now this is the difference between the people of the sunnah, those upon the way of the salaf, that they take this command, this wasiyah from Allah, in their hearts and upon their tongues, and they mutually practice this with their limbs. This can only be said of the people of the truth, and it cannot be said by those besides them. And that's why this, the scholars explain that this is from the greatest foundations of the religion, meaning unity. And those people who oppose this principle, then they are treated to be from the people of innovation. And it is for that reason that our scholars today, from them Sheikh Rabi' and Sheikh Ubaid and Sheikh Muhammad bin Hadi and the other Mashayikh, that they have spoken against a group of people who have come and they have violated this great and mighty principle, this principle of maintaining the unity of Ahlu Sunnah. Not only this principle, but also of having wala, al-wala, of loyalty to Ahlu Sunnah. And not only these two principles, but also the principle of having respect and veneration for the scholars of Ahlu Sunnah. These are three foundations. All of them are tied to the issue of unity and not being divided. And these people are the likes of Yahya al-Hajuri and his followers, this man who came and he corrupted the da'wah of Sheikh Muqbil rahimahullahu ta'ala. He took it and steered it in a direction away from what Sheikh Muqbil rahimahullahu ta'ala used to be upon. And so we see from him not adhering to this principle of maintaining unity. He split them in Yemen and then he divided the people from the scholars of the Sunnah, from Sheikh Rabi', from Sheikh Ubaid, from Sheikh Muhammad bin Hadi, until there was no one left except himself. And al-wala, loyalty, is only around himself. And all of the scholars are spoken of with evil, disgusting, vile speech that has never been heard in the history of Ahlu Sunnah, that Ahlu Sunnah speak against Ahlu Sunnah with such vile and evil words. And so for that reason, this issue of unity is from the greatest concerns of Ahlu Sunnah in every single place, in every single time. And so therefore, if a person comes along, he claims to be upon the sound creed, he claims to be against the people of Bid'ah, but we see him violating this principle and causing schisms and making the people to hate the scholars of the Sunnah and dividing them and splitting them in this way, then that person, on that count alone, he is considered to be outside of Ahlu Sunnah, and he's treated to be from the Mubtadi'een, from those who split the Ummah and cause schisms, that which Allah has prohibited very severely and very strongly in the Book and the Sunnah. Why? Because of his tasarrufat, because of his actions, because of his behavior, because of his dealings. A person can violate the usul of Ahlu Sunnah by way of his dealings in this way, and by not maintaining those things which Allah and His Messenger have ordered that they be maintained. And so the Shaykh says, anyway, the Shaykh continues here and he says, as for the people of Bid'ah, they are the ones who deviate from the straight path to these lines, to the right and to the left. And then the Shaykh mentions that famous hadith of Jabir bin Abdullah to do with the drawing the line in the path, and that this is the path of Allah, and then drawing lines to the right and to the left, saying that these are the paths of shaitan, at the end of them is the devil. And he recited the same ayah in Surah Al-An'am to the end of that hadith. So the Shaykh says that whoever took this middle line that the Messenger drew in the sand, he is the one who will be saved, he is the one who will be happy. And whoever turns away from this, to the right and to the left, to the deviated paths, and he will fall into destruction in three different lives. In the destruction of his worldly life, he will fall into destruction in the worldly life, he will fall into destruction in the life of Barzakh, and he will fall into destruction in the life of the hereafter. For anyone who turns away from this middle, straight, moderate path, destruction in the life of the world, destruction in the life of the Barzakh, and destruction in the hereafter. And then he quotes the ayah, وَمَنْ لَمْ يَجْعَلِ اللَّهُ لَهُ نُورًا فَمَا لَهُ مِنْ نُورٍ, that for whomever Allah does not make any light, there will not be any light. And so the Shaykh says that the author, Shaykh al-Islam Muhammad bin Abdul Wahhab rahimahullahu ta'ala, he has made this very, very clear. He prohibited ikhtilaf, and the first and the greatest thing in which ikhtilaf is prohibited is in the matters of aqidah, in the matters of belief, and then in the matters of methodology, whether that manhaj applies, for example, to da'wah, the manhaj of da'wah, or whether it applies to the manhaj of jihad, because these are issues in which we find the jama'at and the firq today, they have deviated upon. in the matter of da'wah to Allah, we see the Ikhwan and the Tabligh and the Hizb al-Tahrir and the Jama'ah of Mawdudi and the Jama'ah of so-and-so, all of them claiming to call to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And likewise, in the manhaj of jihad, we see the Takfiriyin, the Khawarij, and other than them, deviating in the methodologies in this issue. And likewise, in commanding good and prohibiting evil, we see there are groups. So all of these ways are ways in which the people have deviated, and splitting on these issues are from the characteristics of Ahlul Bid'ah, either with a Bid'ah which takes them outside the fold of Islam, or a Bid'ah which makes them sinners. And every Bid'ah in the deen is evil. And that's why the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he described Bid'ah as Dalalah, wa kullu Bid'atin Dalalah. And he rebuked differing and splitting in the most severe of ways. And then the Shaykh mentioned the ayah, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ فَرَّقُوا دِينَهُمْ وَكَانُوا شِيَعًا لَسْتَ مِنْهُمْ فِي شَيْءٍ. That indeed those who split their religion and turn into groups and sects, you, O Muhammad, have nothing to do with them at all. And likewise, وَلَا تَكُونُوا كَالَّذِينَ تَفَرَّقُوا وَاخْتَلَفُوا مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا جَاءَهُمُ الْبَيِّنَاتِ. That do not be like those who split and differed after there came to them clear evidences. So all of this, the Shaykh says, that this is an evidence that Allah has given, and He has established the Hujjah upon mankind. He has established the Hujjah. That the reason why Allah has mentioned all of these ayat is out of mercy to us, out of compassion to us, for us not to be like those who came before and split and divided, and also to establish the Hujjah, the clear manifest evidence, just in case a person comes on Yawmul Qiyamah and he claims and he says, no Bashir came to us, no one came to us to give us glad tidings, no one came to us to warn. Right? In other words, he's using this as an excuse as to why he split and deviated and turned into groups and sects. So here all of these ayat are the Hujjah of Allah against this ummah, in case they come thinking that they have any excuse. They do not have any excuse, because Allah has conveyed by way of His book and by way of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam this greatest foundation of this religion. And so therefore Allah establishes this in a verse in the Quran, Surah An-Nisa, Surah 4, verse 165. Rusulan مبشرين ومنذرين لألا يكون للناس على الله حجة بعد الرسل. Messengers, as those who give glad tidings and as those who warn, in order that mankind will not have any hujjah, any proof against Allah after the messengers. And in another ayah, in another hadith, sorry, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, إن العلماء ورثة الأنبياء وَإِنَّ الْأَنْبِيَاءَ لَمْ يُوَرِّثُوا دِينَارًا وَلَا دِرْحَمًا إِنَّمَا وَرَّثُوا الْعِلْمَ فَمَنْ أَخَذَ بِهِ فَقَدْ أَخَذَ بِحَظٍ وَافِرٍ. That indeed, the scholars are the inheritors of the prophets. And the prophets leave neither dinar nor dirham, but they leave knowledge as inheritance. So whoever takes from it, he has taken a great portion. Indicating here then, that the messengers came, they established the Hujjah, and the scholars who are the inheritors of the prophets, they likewise convey this Hujjah. They are the ones whom the people unite around, meaning those scholars of the Sunnah, the scholars who are mentioned in other ahadith. لا تزال طائفة من أمتي ظاهرين على الحق. There will never cease to be a group from my ummah manifestly upon the truth. These are the people who are the people of hadith, the people of athar, the people of sunnah, the people upon the way of the salaf, the scholars. This is what it's referring to. And unity is behind them. So the Shaykh, he says that iftiraq in the usul of the religion, in fact in all of the religion, is blameworthy, and it is not from the characteristics of the people of iman, rather it is from the traits of the people of inhiraf and people of ibtida, the munharifin and the mubtadi'in, the deviants and the innovators. And then the Shaykh finishes by making the same point that was made by Shaykh Ahmed al-Najmi rahimahullah ta'ala. He speaks of differing in the furu', in the subsidiary branches. He says that this is a matter which is permissible to differ in, from the ibadat and the mu'amalat, in the acts of worship and the dealings and so on and so forth, for the people of ijtihad, those who are worthy and capable of making ijtihad, then in those issues we do not split, nor do we have any mutual hatred or any boycotting and things like this, because everyone is looking at his evidence and taking it upon his understanding. He has an evidence upon which he depends upon in his view or opinion. And so therefore, when the truth is made clear, then a person holds onto that truth and he leaves what is other than it from the opinions and the ijtihadat. However, the Shaykh says, what is important for us to know and understand, that differing in the ahkam and the ibadat from those people who are qualified and fit to make ijtihad in the first place, that this is not something that necessitates cutting off and splitting and so on and so forth. And the Salaf themselves, they used to differ in some of the issues. Each one would have his opinion, they would make ijtihad, they would have evidences that they depended upon, and this would not lead them to the ikhtilaf, which is blameworthy, which is come and is mentioned in the Sharia text, firstly. And secondly, these scholars, they were people of ijtihad. They were qualified and fit to make ijtihad, and so therefore the situation is such that whoever is right amongst them, he receives two rewards, and the one who makes a mistake, he only receives one reward, and he is pardoned for his mistake that he made due to ijtihad. So this concludes our discussion of this great and mighty principle from these three mashayikh, from Sheikh Ubaid and from Sheikh Zayd al-Madkhali hafidhahum lahu ta'ala, and from Sheikh Ahmed rahimahullah ta'ala. And with that we conclude our lesson today, and inshallah ta'ala we will continue in the next lesson with the third of these great and mighty principles. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.